Poem is our king. Not just for 2 hours on a Sunday, but for eternity. For eternity. I felt like maybe that's an encouragement for us, is just to keep that as our focal point, the center of everything that we do and who we are. Is that's the moment we're working towards. Huh? That's the moment we're working towards. Sure. Thanks, that's Josie. Appreciate you guys. So, right, Lord, help us. Dian asked me, I don't know where he is, there he is. Dian asked me just now, he said, Mike, do you still get nervous when you preach? I said, yeah, for sure. I don't think it's ever always a comfortable thing standing before God's people. And it's whilst it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to share God's word, it does make it hard sometimes, you know, just with what needs sharing. And I just want to say, like, I think it may have been said, and Corne just said it now, that I realize actually standing up here, yes, it's a privilege, but I have nothing to give you outside of God. I can tell you some great stories. I can tell you the track record of God in my life, testimonies, of which he's been perfect. Not according to me, according to him. And I can tell you about God, but actually when there's something that he wants to come and deposit into his people, I've got nothing to give you other than what he's spoken. And I'm trusting God that actually as I've got before him and we start to share some of the shifts and changes within us, that there's something, what I'm trusting God for in terms of the outcome, would there be an expectation and an excitement? I think those are the two words that Corne started with this afternoon, and I thought, wow, how cool is that, man? An expectation and an excitement, okay. So just in short, I'm going to address the white elephant in the room, okay? Not Louis. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Bri. You were the only guy wearing white that I saw immediately, yeah? I had to point at someone else. You know, if you want to take the attention off yourself, you just point towards someone else. And then, sorry, Louis. But yeah, just a short of 2 weeks ago, we were given notice that this will be our second last Sunday in this beautiful hall, huh? And yeah, you want to say yay, huh, man? That's how to respond out of expectancy and excitement. So to tell you the truth, do we have an idea of where we're going? Maybe, okay, maybe there are many things in the pipeline. But we are unsure at this point, and I think the Lord is using it even as a moment to be able to develop our faith. I'm just thinking of that moment where Jesus called Peter out to him, and he steps out on the water. And I mean, can you imagine, just for a moment, just imagine what that must have felt like. I mean, the guys in the boat are going like, Peter, bro, I know you said it, but you're defying all laws of gravity here. It's never been able to hold someone. I don't know how he's doing it, but you certainly cannot do this, you know? And I think sometimes it feels like that. It's like, oh, God, okay, we're stepping out. And it's so easy in these moments to go, okay, cool, look to the left, look to the right, consider the waves, the wind, the everything else. And yet, Peter's best hope was to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep it fixed on Jesus. And I think we misinterpret that last piece of scripture, and it spoke such volumes to me when I heard it for the first time, where it said, you know, at the end, it said, you know, oh, you of little faith. It sounds like a semi-rebuke, huh? But actually what Jesus was saying to Peter was, he was saying that, oh, you of undeveloped faith. And so to a measure, actually each and every one of us are out on the water, you know that, because this is a faith journey. The Lord spoke to me again this week just with regards to Abraham, that I'm a son of Abraham. You know, Abraham had many sons. You know the song? Don't make me get it up, but like sing and dance, eh? Yeah. I'll get hands up again, eh? But Father Abraham and many sons, and you're one of them. You know, that's actually what that song says. Do you know that when God called Abraham, he said, go to the place that I will show you. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to, you know that place I showed you? Now go. Our walk with Jesus is a faith walk from the get-go. How did you come to know him? What's the best way to please him? It's faith. And so we can either respond to one of these things as like, oh my goodness. But I don't think Jesus was sitting at the end of his throne going, oh, what are they going to do? Really, so it's actually the best way to respond, and I want to mention this in a moment, because it did, received it Monday morning. That's why I don't take Pastor's Monday. That's a That's a fad. We don't take Mondays. It's like the devil's waiting. You took ground during the weekend and he's waiting there just to take it back as quickly as he can. We take Fridays, okay? Fridays is a good day. And none of you work on Fridays. I know it. And so, it was interesting this week waking up with a mail like that. And I just want to clarify something. The school has been incredible to us, eh? So I'm not going to dishonor them at all because I can only say good things about them. They've been so kind to let us meet you. They have, when we've gone to them with requests about more kids' church facilities, because in that department we are growing exponentially. There are kids all over the place, and I love it. It's amazing. But this week they're meeting back in there, and I can tell you, I saw the look on Joan Galen's face. They're like, oh no, don't send us into that room with the kids, you know? And they love kids. But they've given us classrooms when we've needed it, And actually just, I felt to honor them, you know, because they've been really, have been incredible from the get-go. And so we planted in our house about 6 months ago yesterday. What's that? 6 months ago yesterday, we planted in our house. We were there for a week, trusting God in the same space we are now, going, Lord, I don't know, we're going to probably outgrow this house as of next week. So it would be really good, God, if you could just provide something, you know. And he did, and he provided in this way, and this has seen us through incredibly. And you never know, maybe we're back here again in 10 years' time. We don't know. But what I did want to say was the fact that it is nothing that we have done wrong. Also, okay, so you guys can go like, oh my goodness, was it me pouring the urn on the grass again, or was it? It's nothing that we did wrong. Okay, they were a little bit caught off guard by the prelims, the exams that are coming up. That has shifted up way earlier. So they originally communicated to us, yeah, cool, man, you guys can have a month. There's a month that we need the building, and over that time, you're not going to get access. You can use the tent on the lawn, you can do whatever you want, but for the hall's sake, you will not have that. And I thought, okay, that's workable. We can do something like that. I think we've built differently as a church. We love each other's homes. We love each other deeply, and so we would actually get into homes and to be able to do that. But with prelims moving this close, it's literally left us without a venue for 4 months. So there are 3 weeks between prelims and the end of year exams. And so it does pose some challenges, as I said, but we are not to be rattled by them, huh? We're not to be rattled by them. And so what does that mean? Like, I almost want to say just from the get-go, if there are questions that arise in your heart, maybe not mid-preach, that'd be nice, because I feel like God wants to just ground us in a few things. But afterwards, I want to give you permission, man. Like, come, let's chat about it. That's totally fine. Maybe you know of a place. That's awesome. I can tell you, if there's a door in Longabon, I've knocked on it twice before we planted here and now that we've been given notice. But maybe there's something else that God wants to do in and through us. And so I'm going to look at that today. But just to remind us again that whilst we cannot control circumstances, we can control how we respond to them or react to the news. We cannot control circumstance, and I'm so glad that I remember a couple of weeks ago saying that our joy is not rooted in circumstance. Our joy is not rooted in circumstance. And I just find it so funny just how the Lord's been taking us on a journey, and I'll touch on it in a moment. But once I got over myself, I asked myself two questions, generally, after any kind of news that's a little bit, whoa, now what, God? I asked myself two questions. God, what are you doing through us? It's always good to know. Have you ever asked that question? Like, God, what could you do through us as a church? Andrew would often say, if you look at us, it must be God. It must be God. And so what could he do through us? And then the second question, which I think is probably the more important one for today, is, Lord, what do you want to do in us? Because it does feel, I have such a great sense that God wants to come and do something in us that might look different. It might not be what we understand. It might even feel like it's the thing that we should stop looking at in the rearview mirror. That's the thing and actually look towards the one who is leading us on. And do we know that what that's going to look like? No. But we know that he's greater and he does. And so that's the place that we settle in. And so what do you want to do through us and what are you doing in us? And just to briefly touch on what he was doing through us. You know, when we planted Langebaan, we planted out of Azevontein, and there were 18 adults and 10 kids. Just to give you a little bit of a brief overview, and I want to say numbers on an indication of growth, not the indication of growth. Okay. I've been a part of churches that are smaller and yet in stature in terms of in the Lord, they are firing on all cylinders. And I've been a part of a church that is a mile wide and an inch deep, full of people, but nothing of the presence of God. I do feel like God has put something of a seal onto Langebaan that carries His presence, that carries His presence. And actually, we'll carry that wherever we go. That it's not limited to this building, and it's not limited to the next one wherever we end up, but it's the people, it's what He's done in our hearts that counts. And so just to give us a little bit of a, so 10 adults and, let me try this again. Thank you. You want to say it, huh? Yeah. 18 adults and 10 kids. 18 adults, 10 kids. And whilst we say number as an indicator, it is an indicator. I'm looking at the last 2 months. We've literally tripled in size. Now, it doesn't look like I see we're missing a few people today and the kids are out. Okay, but if I look at the average of us in the last 2 months where we've really scaled back in terms of people coming and even visiting, it's been in the 60s a month ago, and then it was 70s, and last week was 84, the week before 93. Guys, this building, I just want to say this building, that's wonderful, let's go back into worship. This building was not going to hold us too much longer. It was not going to hold us too much longer. And so I do feel like, you know, we can point and we can blame the devil, but I actually don't want to give him the credit, though. Because it does feel like God's just doing a little bit of this. Okay, come on. It's not in your timing. It's not how you thought it would happen. But I'm just going to give you a little bit of a nudge. And it might be uncomfortable for a while. That's okay. That's okay. The safest place for you is out on the water. Trust in me. Trust in me. And I just want to say I'm so thankful for each and everyone sitting here and the guys who are not here, because we have been in a school hall. We have not put up a signboard. We did a couple months back. Okay, there's two flags that get put out, thanks to Ivan and Joe and a couple of the other guys who I'm probably forgetting now. Hey, Andre, who put the flags out, and they only go up an hour before the service. And I was just reminded of that scripture in John 12, 32, where it actually says that, you know, Jesus said about Himself, He says, as I am lifted up, I will draw men and women to Myself. And so He was talking about the kind of death that He was going to die. But I believe, and I would submit to you, that actually, as He is lifted up in our lives, in Brenda's life, in Josh's life, in Ashley's life, in David's life, that there's something of a drawing that happens, even by the Spirit, that He starts to draw people. So there's word of mouth, and we can put it down to the flags on I think it's a little bit more. Huh? I think it's something of a sacrificial life that people have given themselves to go, I want to see God's kingdom extend, and I realize I'm a part of that. I realize I'm a part of that. And so it is exciting, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try. Come on. Okay. I'm going to try once more on three, all right? It is exciting, is it not? Okay. Now, right, I'm hoping by the end of the preach, the couple of faces that are still so, okay, are going to change into, yes, man. All right, cool. Let me start with a story so I don't lose you, all right? So I had a totally different story. I put this one in this morning because, can you put that pantry slide up for me? I was thinking of Henry this morning, yeah. And I don't know about you, but... if this doesn't represent you, you know when your wife goes shopping, okay? Your wife goes shopping and then she tells, oh, lovey, won't you? And maybe you go shopping for yourself, Rian, okay? maybe you're not like me, but I'm guaranteeing some of you are like me, where there's a moment where you walk towards the boot and you see what's in there. And it doesn't matter if there's eggs. It doesn't matter if there's milk. It doesn't matter if there's yogurt. I'm not coming back for a second trip. I'm not coming back. That's me, literally. Is my wife here? Yeah, she is. Oh, no. I'm not coming back for a second trip, so it doesn't really matter what's in those bags. It doesn't really matter. Am I the only one? No? Okay. You know what's the worst part is? I did it yesterday, and as I'm walking out, I'm like, oh, I've got this. I've got this. And I look back, and the boot's open. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, there's no ways you're going to know. You know. Anyway, maybe some of you can. I'm not that way wide. Why am I sharing this? Because I think we are quite prone to short-circuiting the timing and the processes of God. We love doing things in our own strength. We love doing things in our own strength. Like, if you're real about it, if you think of aspects of your life where it's like, we could trust God, but I can also just, I can muscle this now. I can do it. God, it's a God, and then we even reason it. You got, it's a God-given ability, and I want to do it. And actually, we missed moments to be able to trust God. And I want to say, maybe even some of you guys are sitting here right now, and you're going, I know that hall. I know that person. I know the wonderful. I want to say, that's great. But can I ask us as a congregation, let's not miss the moment. Let's not short-circuit what God would want to do in us so that he can do something through us. Let's learn what we need to learn in this time and be able to actually respond in a way that pleases God, which is going, yeah, I could, God. I could. But I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. So even those thoughts that you're having right now, just allow God to just minister to you. Just listen to maybe some of the things that maybe he would want to just affirm in us again as a loving father. We would be wise to recognize what God is doing in us. What God is doing in us. So we asked, why are we doing this? Because I think we have a bent towards doing things in our own strength, short-circuiting God's ways. Now, what is he doing in us? And I just want to consider for a moment just the last three Sundays. I think it's three Sundays. Maybe it's four. But it's quite significant, you know, like the fact that three Sundays ago, we arrived to a hall full of an art exhibition. There's stuff everywhere. And we walk in and you go like, not even this line was open to us. And you're like going, oh my goodness, God. Now what? Ivan and I sit down for a moment. We go like, yeah, we could conform to this. You know, we could go in these little kind of side booths. But I mean, if you look, there's like half-naked mannequins over there. And then there's this picture of a skull at the back. And then there's this, like, it was weird. Like, some of the stuff was incredible. Other stuff was super weird. And so we looked outside, and it was a day like today, if not better. And actually, we shifted everything outside. I can tell you, it was one of the most, who was there? Okay, the most of us. It was a wonderful moment, eh? And so God causes us to like break out of even the building in a sense and be able to go, hey, worship me outside. The very next week, we go, okay, cool. We're back inside. Weather's not as favorable. The art exhibition's still here. So is the mannequin and so is the skull at the back. Okay. And so you're going, okay, God, like now what? You know, now what? And we met inside, and it was actually so beautiful because despite the clutter, we were still able to worship God. It was all this stuff everywhere, and it was like it didn't really matter. And then the week thereafter, I wasn't here. I think it was, this was this past week. I heard you guys worship for like an hour. Good going, man. Good going. I want to say, like, if we're talking about we're going to worship him for eternity, yeah, we better, like, kick the seat from behind us and start working some leg muscles and arm muscles. Now, I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter. We're going to get one glimpse of who he is and what he's called us into and go like, how can I not worship him? Why don't we do that now? Okay. So, the title of this message, I'm almost halfway through. Okay, Cornet's looking at me like, oh no, he's dropping the title now. Okay. The title of this message, and for this, I need your help. Okay, because I also changed it this morning. Yeah, and so it's this saying, and I'm hoping that as I start, you're going to finish. Otherwise, I'm going to look like a pawpaw. So I'm really asking for your help here. Okay, it has been around a long time, so I'm gauging that you're going to know this one. Okay, all right, you ready, Brenda? Okay, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's all right. Okay, you guys did well there. I know we're not going to do a rerun, eh? I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. And I think of the, you know, lyrics written by Lee Adams in 1966 is still etched in our minds. Why? You know, it was such a profound, and I'm hoping that God will actually use the title, that's the actual title, this is not the title of the preach, that this would etch in our minds. That every time we think about church, and everyone goes, look, church! That everyone would go, it's not a place, it's not a building, it's Jesus. Okay, it is Superman in a sense. Huh? Yeah. Just making the correlation now. Sorry, I'm slower than you, okay? Look at this church. It's not a place. It's not a building. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. It's a person. So I'm going to do the perfect Baptist preach, I'm hoping. 3 points, we laughed about this today. 3 scriptures, 3 points, and I'm hoping to keep it in under 30 minutes. All right, is it possible? Let's see. So church, not a place. Let's start there. It's not a place. John 4, and let's give us context. I love starting here because it's actually about the Samaritan woman. So I'm going to use 3 different scriptures, 3 different parts of the Bible to explain 3 different points, all right? The Samaritan, now I know the guys amongst us, the Samaritan woman, it might be someone hard to actually relate to because she is in fact a woman. But when she came to the well and she met the Messiah, it was the first time he ever revealed himself as that. He said, I am the Messiah. He revealed himself to her first. And I don't know about you, but every time I consider something of that moment that I met Jesus, it felt like I was the only one. It felt like he was just pointing me out and going, hey, I am. He reveals himself. I am the Messiah. And so we stop drinking of this water that actually does it satisfies us for a moment. And we take the water that he offers us, which it says it bubbles up in us, which actually up until eternal life. It's living water. And such a picture of you and I. And so from verse 19, this is the last part of the conversation she's having with Jesus before she runs back in the town and tells everyone about him. From verse 19 to 21, you can put that up. Sir, why is it that you Jews insist that you're... Sorry. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Nor in Jerusalem. So actually it comes to a point where Jesus goes, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter whether you worship him there or whether you worship him there. And I'm going to show us how actually what the kind of worship that Jesus is looking or the Father is looking for. But just recently, thanks to Des, we've been having a look at a few pieces of land and for long term. And we've been looking at a few short term options in terms of, okay, cool, these buildings, what will this work? Will that work? Because we still are asked to move in faith, huh? Okay, so I'm not just sitting there waiting for it to drop in our lap. I just want to confirm that. And so we've been having a look at a few things. And the one thing that stood out that's most noteworthy is you can have a perfect building. It can be zoned something different. But you can also get you can obtain consent for a place of worship. You can obtain consent, and then what they'll do is they will go and they will speak to the neighbors. You can correct me if you want to, Des. They'll speak to the neighbors. They'll speak to the partnering businesses around, and they'll say, "Hey, man, are you guys cool with this? You're good." And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I'm so thankful that we don't work at that same system, that we actually work under the municipality of heaven, not this. Okay, now I'm not dishonoring them, but I'm going, imagine every time that we wanted to do what we did this morning, I needed to go to Josh as my neighbor and go, but I'm looking at having 30 minutes. I just want to worship Jesus, and I just want to cry out to him. I want to shout his name. I want to drop to my knees. I want to fall on my face. Is it okay? And the problem is when it comes to obtaining consent for place of worship, it can take anywhere between 1 and 3 months. Can you imagine that he came back to me and said, look, I'm going to think about it. But look, it could take between 1 and 3 months. I'm so thankful that we are not bound by a place and we are not bound by a time when it comes to worshiping Jesus. That the church of the living God is not bound to a place and we do not have to obtain consent. He's given that through his son. So that is number one. And actually he says this. And I love it. This is Jesus' time frame, and it's so much better. He says this, John 4, 23 to 24. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. What does it say on your shirt? Something about the future. I can see it from here. I can't see the rest. Huh? Yeah, the future is now. Like I want to say, like we don't have to wait to be able to worship Jesus. And it doesn't come down to a place where we have to even drive to this building in order to do so. The wonderful thing is you can drop to your knees wherever you are. You don't even have to drop to your knees. Maybe that's a big thing for you. You can just worship him. You can worship him. We can worship him. We are not limited by a place. And then he says this, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in this way. It's a reminder that he's speaking to the Samaritan woman. And he's saying this. She's saying, you know, the Samaritans worship here, the Jews worship here. And he introduces a whole new category. And he calls it true worshipers. True worshipers. And so I was wondering this morning, afternoon, wherever we are. I was wondering this morning because when I was thinking about it, I wonder if God would do this just to teach us what true worship looks like. That actually would strip everything back to be able to teach us what it looks like to truly worship him. And then what's even harder, would we allow him to do it? Or are we going to come to our own ability and start to short circuit the processes of God again in our life? Number two, church is not a building. Okay, so it's not a bird, it's not a place. No, I'm kidding. It's not a place, and it's not a building. John 2, 19 to 20. Don't go there yet, please, Henry. Jesus is coming out of a place of actually just having cleansed the temple. Okay, it sounds beautiful. He was overturning tables of the moneymakers. He had lost it. Not mentally. He had lost it with the way that the temple had been defiled. He said that actually this should be a place of prayer. This is my Father's house, house of prayer. You've made it into a den of robbers. We need to be careful what we make the temple of Jesus into. Be careful. Let's be careful of that. And out of this, he has the religious leaders coming after him going, okay, you say you're the Son of God. Show us a sign. So they're calling his bluff on it. Okay, here he's come. He's literally overturned the tables. He's called them out. And they say, you said that you're Son of God. Now show us a sign. And so let's read this together. I love Jesus' response. He says this, all right. Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. You can imagine the faith. I was thinking about it this morning. I would have paid big bucks to see what this looked like on their faces. 3 days, and I will build it up. Now, I just heard 2 or 3 days ago of a church in Zimbabwe that lost their venue, and here's the testimony: they built a place for themselves in 2 weeks. Stace and I looked at each other and we were like, "Challenge accepted." Yeah? I thought to myself, like, "Oh God, you're gonna have to help us there," because I think they were probably using different materials. And I think even just in by law, we would have to do something a little bit more established. But 3 days, he's going to rebuild something that has taken 46 years. And I can imagine they're probably going, listen, buddy, my parents were building this before you were even alive. Some of you know that line, huh? Yeah, I've heard that line. And I can tell you right now, the Zim guys, they definitely weren't building according to 1 Chronicles 28. Because, the pattern at which it had to be built, there was no physical way possible. And that's what Jesus was speaking about, other than this. So what did Jesus mean? And John gives us a sneak peek in verse 21. He says, but when Jesus said this, temple, he meant his own body. He meant his own body. And you know what the wonderful part about this is, guys, is that, you know, when it came to actually, if each and every one of us had sinned, you know what the response was? The response would have been, you needed 3 things. You needed a sacrificial lamb, you needed a temple, and you needed a high priest. When Jesus went to the cross and he gave his body, when he was nailed to the cross and he went into the grave and he rose on the 3rd day, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about his body. No longer made out of stone. The disciples struggled with the same thing. Matthew 24, go read it for yourself. Chasing Jesus after he's been preaching at the temple, going, look at this, oh my goodness. And Jesus turns around and goes, not one of these stones will stand on top of another. He's going to destroy it. And it's made new in him. That is the better covenant. It's that you don't have to go and fetch a lamb without spot and blemish. But now, and you don't have to come to this place when you've sinned. But you can actually approach Jesus as the high priest, the one who is ever living to intercede for us. He is our high priest. So church is not a place, and church is not a building. So then what is it? Superman. I like that. Superman. It is. It's a person, and his name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. And I'm gonna end with this, and it's a scripture. And I was going to summarize it, but I actually felt I want to read it for us. So Ephesians 1, 21 to 23. And it summarizes actually what we've been speaking about this afternoon. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. He has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. And then he answers with the next part is this, verse 23. And it answers today's question. And the church is his body. And it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And I'll conclude with this. I have a real sense that actually God wants to come and do something through us. He wants to come and do something through us. Jesus was the means of salvation, meaning there needed to be a sacrifice. The church that he established was the way in which salvation would come. It's through you. It's through me. As we come together, church as a collective globally, when you got saved, you were included in that, but then also in the local. We're called to reflect something of the image of God. So whilst it's him, and he's speaking about the temple being his body, you are a part of that body. You are a part of that body. You are a member of that body. And so when we speak about actually coming to church, you're coming to a place where actually as living stones, we get built together to become a dwelling place for God to come and live by his Spirit. That is not limited to a place. It is not limited to this building. But it is only found in Jesus. And so actually you will find that actually when you get together with true worshipers, those who worship in spirit and in truth, that there's something of the Spirit that's been deposited in our hearts, that when we gather, I can sit across from Cornet, and I've known him 2-3 years, and I can have more in common with him than some of my own family I've known my entire life, because of something of the Spirit of God inside of him. And God wants to come and do that, a unique work. I can't tell you what it's going to look like, but I can tell you that's what he wants to do. And so if you turn around and you go, Mike, so what does the vision look like for the next 6 months? I'm on the water with you. I'm on the water with you. And at times I want to consider the waves and wind. But I'm thankful that we're on the water together. Right? And I must say, for a moment, other than Monday morning, for a little bit of time, I haven't been anxious about anything. I felt the most overwhelming peace and excitement and encouragement in my heart to be able to go, God, what could you do next? And whether that's a 5,000 square building that becomes ours and we get consent, or whether that's a little living room and God wants to come and work on the deeper things of our heart so that when the time comes, we move into something bigger, that there's enough established in us that we don't short-circuit ourselves. But there's something of the life of God that's popping. Now, I felt to ask of us, this afternoon, are you given to that cause? Are you given to living out of a place of worship, worshiping him? Because that's what it comes back to. It doesn't matter whether you worship on that mountain, on this mountain. It comes back to the point that Jesus, or the Father, is looking for those who would worship him, true worshipers in spirit and in truth. So I felt to encourage us with that today, but also, in a sense, is that something that resonates with your heart? Is there something of like, okay, cool, I can hear that. I feel like actually in the Lord, I could do that. Because it might mean that we need to stop leaning on the crutches of nice buildings and beautiful grass patches and classrooms. But if God is with us, I said it in prayer meeting when Moses said, unless you go from here, God, unless you go from here, we don't want to go. We want to be those who are carrying his presence. We want to be those people who are believing him for the good things because we love him. Okay. So this doesn't mean that we sit back and we don't trust God. That's the very thing that we want to do. And Cornelia is going to give us a few more handles in what that looks like now. But I do have such a great sense that he wants to come and make us full and complete. And whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like, would we allow him to come and do it in us? And so firstly, before praying about anything else, I would ask us as a congregation to get before the Lord. And when we pray, that this be our prayer. And I saw Ivan's dad do this once when I was growing up in the church. He said, start with me, God. It's something that never left me. He said, start with me. And so we can pray for venue, and we can pray for influence in the town, and we can pray for all these things. But actually, our first port of call is going, God, I'm a part of this temple that you've called us to. I'm a part of your body. Right now, this is what we're going through. Start with me. Start with me. Allow me to position my heart to do what you want to do in it so that you can do what you want to do through us and through each and every one of us. Is that okay?